Hello, church.
What a unique situation we find. We find ourselves in today. You're sitting there in the comfort of your home, and you might feel for just a moment as if you are alone. Of course, there with other people in your midst immediately, but it is no doubt a fact that there are people assembling in so many different locations, scattered throughout so many different cities, states, and countries today, that it could absolutely be one of the most powerful Sundays and assemblies that we've been a part of. I have a feeling that you're paying attention more pointedly than ever before. I have a feeling that you've been anticipating this day and in this moment more than you normally would. Well, a friend of mine sent me a text message a couple of days ago, and he said that the congregation that he's working with is trying to influence, through social media, our world. And so the hashtag that I have behind me that you're looking at right now, hashtag We Shall Assemble, is something they came up with. And I forwarded it on to as many people as I could, several Christians throughout at least three different states, who then took that message and tried to send it on to other people as well. And so if you're in one of those unique situations and settings today where you're in your home, I would encourage you, take a picture of your family, take a picture of yourself gathered in the innermost part of your safe place, your home, but you're there for the assembly of worship. Take a picture, post it on whatever social media outlet you use with the hashtag #WeShallAssemble, and let's see what kind of influence we can have in the midst of this struggle and this turmoil, that we can truly influence our world to showcase to the world we're devoted to God first and foremost and above anything else. The world has a lot of different thoughts right now. What if they see us assembling in the midst of a struggle? You know, they might see this word, hope. And for the first time in many people's lives, they may be searching intentionally for this very word, hope. Because while the world seems to be crumbling in chaos, we as Christians can offer this very idea and real principle, hope. For some people, though, this word is a fleeting thought. A group of those people in 1950... they were told by the Central Maine Power Company that their town of Flagstaff, Maine, was going to be flooded. It wasn't a big town. Their trade normally was cutting down trees, sending off the wood, and that's how they would gain income for their small community. But people loved it, grew up there, and lived there for many, many years. But in 1949, they were told, next year it's coming. This town will be flooded to create a hydro dam. People started reacting in many different ways. Some people accepted it and they started to make preparations. Others, on the other hand, refused to accept the current situation. And so they just acted as if it wouldn't happen, ignoring it altogether. And while people were making all of the choices, what happened throughout that little town continues to teach us a lesson of what might happen when people live without hope. You see, at that point in time in 1949, when they saw the future and it seemed bleak and without hope, people quit taking care of their homes. They quit decorating buildings, sprucing up the external of places, whether it's a building, a road, a yard, or whatever the case may be within their town. And that little town began to droop and deteriorate to a woeful existence that was sad and forlorn. Why? Because they saw their future and it was without hope. They could do nothing to change the outcome of the impending flood that was coming their way. And so they gave up. And the lesson that little town of Flagstaff, Maine teaches us today is this, that when there is no hope in the future, there's no power in the present. Some people might be living their life today without hope in the future. And they themselves are experiencing what it's like to lose this idea and to feel the loss of power in the present moment. Well, this wouldn't be the first time that people are experiencing that fear, the loss of hope. And so some people might be asking the question, where is God when this idea of hope seems to be lost? And how can we wrestle with our weak present? In Judges chapter 6, a group of people might have been asking that exact same question. And the Bible talks about God's people of Israel. And it said that in verse 1, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of the Midianites their 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. And so when the people lost hope, they entered into the recesses of these mountains and dens and caves, and they hid without hope. And their lives seemed bleak and weak. And what they did was try to continue some semblance of life and reality. And you see, they went and planted crops because they had to have food to eat. They had to carry on performing some of the normal necessities of life. But it's very interesting as the Bible continues the story. Notice what the people did and how they reacted to the enemy that was facing them. For whenever, verse 3, the Israelites planted crops, I'm in Judges 6, verse 3. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep or ox or donkey. See, here's what they would do. They would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come up, the Bible says, like locusts in number, swarming everything. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste to the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low. And the people of Israel cried out for help from the Lord. When facing the enemy, and as the enemy swarmed down in front of them and around them, that God's people hid in the recesses of these caves and dens within the mountain because they had lost all hope. They lost hope because they lost sight of God. And when we lose sight of God, there seems to be no power in the present moment. Where's God when this happens? These people were crying out, "Where are you, Lord? Where have you gone and what will you do?" And I think people today might be crying and asking that very same question. You in your home might be saying the very same thing today. Where is God when hope seems lost? And if I were to read and you were to continue to read the rest of this chapter and the following chapter, you would see the power and the presence of God. You see, God called a man named Gideon. He called this man Gideon to rise to the occasion from a weak family in a weak tribe, from a weak people that had lost sight of the power of their God, living life without hope. You see, God called people in the presence of their enemy. And God called people not when they were strong, but God called upon people when they seemed weak and without hope. And as Gideon answered the call, he came forward with many signs from God and a clear statement of what he had to do. Gideon answered that call. He rose an army of many thousands of people. God said, "That's too many. I don't need that many to showcase my strength. I don't need that many to show what I can do when hope seems lost." And so he dwindled that army from 32,000 all the way down to the faithful 300, that tiny group of people, to go against a group of over 100,000 seasoned warriors. Where is God when hope seems lost? He's above us. And he sees us. And he provides an opportunity for our weakness to become strong. As you sit in the recesses of your home today, potentially asking the question, where's God when hope seems lost? I need you to know this morning that God is above us. God sees us. And I believe that God is providing an opportunity for our weakness to become strong. What is our weakness? I don't think our enemy is a group of hundreds of thousands of seasoned warriors. I don't even think our enemy is this coronavirus. I want you to hear clearly what I am not saying. I am not saying that God sent a virus into the world to infect us. What I am saying clearly is that God can use this virus to infect us with a strong desire to return to faith and return to our families within the recesses of our homes. To become spiritually strong people. Maybe our weakness was we've been too busy for too long, taking care of too many things outside of our homes, outside of our families, and now we've come to this moment in this time when the enemy might be encamped around us, and you might feel weak, but you need to be reminded of hope today. That when we're weak, he's strong. And when we feel as if we have to hide in the recesses of our homes, I don't think God leaves us, nor that he doesn't see us, but rather he sees you clearly, and he's providing for you an opportunity to empower you and your home and your family as a place of spiritual strength. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever is written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. I hope you see that with God, we're never weak. With God, we're never lost. And with God, there is always hope. And so blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Where is God when hope seems lost? Right with you, reminding you of the strength, of the providence, and of the hope that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I hope you live a life of hope today, because where there is the presence of hope, there is great power, and it's in Christ our Lord. Let's pray together. Holy Father, you're the God of hope. And you are a God of strength and providence. And as many people assemble within the recesses of their homes, it seems as if an enemy is surrounding us. But God, we feel strength because of the spiritual unity in Jesus. Because of how you're providing opportunities for us to grow and for us to increase our faith. To increase the strength of our families, to have spiritual strongholds scattered throughout communities and states and countries in this world. So thank you for all those people who have been called out and who are answering the call of faith. And help us to use this as a message of hope to a people who are asking a very important question of God, where are you? And help us to give them a message of good news, that you're with them and you're for them. Most clear, concise image of that is Jesus. We praise you, God, today through your Spirit, through your Son. And in this prayer, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.